You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I am Josh Felber, and I am excited for today's guest, Jack Davis. He is 26, the CEO and co-founder of Crypt TV. They are a leader in the digital scares dubbed Marvel for Monsters. And Crypt has over 5 million followers across social media. They average over 80 million views per month, as well as seen in its original characters, open theme parks. Also, when I was talking with Jack initially, right in the beginning, he said they have the number one Facebook show on Facebook with the most watches and views of all times. And as CEO of Crypt, Jack leads all the company content, business strategy, and manages a team that has grown over from 7 to 20 employees over the last year. As they prepare to bring new monsters, new formats from traditional long-form entertainment to podcasts, the hot new media VR and AR, and in October of 2017, he was selected as one of Variety's new leaders for digital. So Jack, I'm going to welcome you to Making Bank today.
Thank you, Josh. I'm really excited to be here, and thank you for having me on.
For sure. So I guess tell me what got you all involved in this space and started as an entrepreneur, and then we'll kind of take it from there.
Well, what got me started as an entrepreneur, and I've listened to your show before, so I love hearing people's first job stories before we end up getting to the where we are now stories. But when I was 12 years old, so I was like literally just graduated sixth grade, my mom shook me out of bed and she said, "Where are you working this summer? Get a job." So my mom didn't really ever give me the option to not be working. So the only place that would hire me is the elementary school I had just graduated from, basketball camp. The next summer, they actually shut the camp down. So I was really annoyed because this was the only place that would hire me. And I said to my mom, maybe I can host the camp in our backyard. And my mom gave me a little loan to buy a second basketball hoop, to buy some basketballs, to buy some, you know, like arts and crafts, to put together the big board of the contests and stuff. And I hosted the basketball camp in my backyard. Called all the fourth and third graders, took the school directory and just cold called every single parent. Ended up actually running the camp for 5 years. So my first ever intro to entrepreneurship was the basketball camp that I coached at was shut down. And I was really annoyed. And I was like, that's dumb. Why are they shutting it down? Whatever. I can do it better anyway.
Right.
And it's funny because I'm not the most athletic kid, but I was able to run a basketball camp for 5 years. And it was an amazing, amazing time.
That's super cool. So did you guys graduate out of the backyard to a larger space or anything, or did you keep it there all 5 years?
My mom was really generous with rent. So, you know, I really kind of like, I really liked the low rent, especially because I was able to pay her back for the loan on the second hoop and the balls after 1 year. I actually kept trimming down. The first year I hired like all my friends because like, this is great. I'm running the camp with my friends.
Right.
And then it kind of occurred to me after the first year that I was a glorified babysitter and these kids I was coaching weren't going to go to the NBA and I certainly was not a great athlete. So I was like, oh, I'm a glorified babysitter. I fired all my friends, just me, take off all those expenses. And because my job was really just to look after the kids and teach them sportsmanship and have fun. So we kept it in the backyard.
That's cool. That's a great story. I know mine was at 14 is kind of when I had that real first company. So really cool, man. So what? So that kind of got you started. Like, what was kind of your progression from there? I mean, did you go work a regular job? Did you, you know, focus more on school? Did you, you know, what was kind of that next step?
I had trouble with regular jobs and with school. So to anyone out there, I'm sure you got some young listeners who are 15, 16, 17. Don't stress. If school is not your thing, work hard in school. I think you have to apply yourself. But if you feel stuck in a normal job or school, I never did very well in school or at a job. In fact, I did one internship at a big company when I was in college, and I hated it so much, I said I will never work at a big company ever again the rest of my life. I maybe am more open to, you know, open-minded now about maybe I was a little young and reckless, but it was that idea of I like to start things. I feel like I don't want to learn in this structure. I want to try and go out there and make my own mistakes.
Sure.
And create my own personal structure. So I would say, you know, what led me to Crypt wasn't necessarily one specific job as much as my entire life since that basketball camp at when I was 14, trying to do entrepreneurial things.
Okay. And so it was kind of Crypt your next venture? Is that where you moved
into? I did a bunch of stuff. Like, you know, okay. In high school, I had a bunch of half-baked ideas. In college, I did, like, specialized in half-baked ideas that I didn't see all the way through. You know, trying to sell hats as part of a concert series, trying to do different websites. I was really, like, specialized in bad ideas in college. But I started Crypt not long after I graduated.
Okay.
And even though all those half-baked ideas I tease now, I would say all that experience helps lead you to the thing that actually works.
Sure, for sure. What kind of like through, I mean, as entrepreneurs, I mean, even myself included, I mean, we have all those. It's like, cool, I have this idea, and you either kind of shelf it or you're like, boom, I'm going to act on it. And so I know, you know, just myself having those different ideas and starting them, what were maybe one or two key things that you learned kind of through that process of those half-baked ideas that you've been able to use in Crypt and apply today?
That's a great question. I would say the number one thing I learned in this process of half-baked ideas is things are going to change once you get into your company, but that doesn't mean it's not worth it to really plan out what the next 6 months looks like, what the 1 year looks like, what the 5 year looks like. You have to actually put out the map. And the map's going to change. You might take different routes. But if you don't take the time to really think past just the next day's work, you might not really be able to be successful.
Definitely. And you know, a key word that you use, I find it really interesting because not a lot of people do, is a map. And that was always one of the things is like, man, you have a business plan, but then it just feels like it's so confined and you have to stay to that. Whereas with a business, I mean, it is like a map and you're navigating. You got to be able to make those turns if there's a detour.
I totally agree. Listen, I'm sitting here in Los Angeles right now. It's about a 4-hour drive to Vegas. There's a lot of different ways to get there. And that's how I feel like being an entrepreneur is. You know where you're trying to go.
Sure.
You get in the car and you know your dream of what you see, your big overarching vision your company is. But sometimes a road may be shut down, or sometimes, the highway's blocked, you gotta get off and figure out how to take side streets to get back on the highway. So it's good to know your destination and try and map out the best path to get there, but if you don't have that flexibility and confidence to pivot as things maybe change, it's gonna be tough.
For sure. No, that's cool. And then so, what was that first like light bulb moment that got you started, you know, with Crypt?
So Crypt, I started right after college. I partnered with this guy, Eli Roth. He was like the Bear, Jude, and Glorious Bastards. He's a famous writer, director in the scary space. And the idea really came from me and Eli seeing the amazing movement to digital video, to YouTube and Facebook, and how people were creating amazing content on their phones, and nobody was doing it for scary. And growing up in Los Angeles, I have known that scary has been a part of Hollywood culture forever.
Sure.
There's actually never been a time where scary wasn't a huge part of the economic and cultural relevance of media. I mean, Freddy Krueger is as big as anything.
You're right.
So we saw that no one was doing it for mobile, so we decided to do a test. And this test ended up setting up the whole business. Talk about a light bulb moment.
Right.
It was called 6 Second Scare. Upload your scariest 6 Second video to Vine. This is back when Vine was a big thing.
Yeah.
This was October 2014. And the winner gets to develop their idea with Eli. And we thought it would be cool, but we really wanted to see, does scary work on mobile for people for creators?
Right.
And will consumers enjoy it? And the contest went bigger than our wildest dreams. I mean, we got over 15,000 submissions. Eli ended up on Good Morning America.
Oh,
and more importantly than even the press, which was great, was, wow, people can make great scary content for the phone. And people were loving scary content on the phone. In fact, there are a few ways where scary is actually better on the phone or unique than traditional TV or movies. So that was the big light bulb moment. Through that, we met Jason Blum of Blumhouse Productions, who's the producer of Purge and Paranormal Activity and Insidious and Get Out and Split. He became our first investor. And then we launched the company officially 6 months later in April 2015.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So using those 6 seconds then was kind of the key role or the key piece for you guys,
huge.
Do you think?
Without the 6 Second Scare contest, there is no Crypt. I'm not sitting here today talking to you, because it gave us the confidence that there was demand on a fan side for this type of content on the phone, but also that you could successfully create it. That the mobile phone could be a great conduit for scary content.
Right. And you know, kind of now is, I mean, you know, as we're kind of seeing that transition from off, you know, I guess on air or whatever, normal TV, to that digital side of stuff, whether it's on mobile phone. I mean, obviously phones keep getting bigger and bigger. Now you got the Samsungs and the iPhones that are, you know, have a large screen size, to the, you know, their iPads and Android devices and everything. And, you know, more people are consuming the audio as well as the video content through those, because they can pause it, come back and watch it later and everything. And from taking that 6-second video and the contest and everything, what it kind of has been that transition, and like, where are you guys today with delivering digital content?
That's great. That's a great question. Yeah.
So,
yeah. The big transition, I think, and I'm sure this is true for you, and I'd love to hear your stories about your first podcast, is really understanding what your brand is, what your mission is, and how to get better and better, and take those learnings from what you're doing at first and make it so that your next video or your next podcast incorporates maybe the mistakes that you did before. So our mission is to be Marvel for Monsters. What that means is we want to create a whole universe of characters. We think the next Freddy Krueger, the next Jason Voorhees, the next, you know, Pennywise the Clown from It is coming from Crypt. We think we are going to create those next characters. And we say Marvel for Monsters because Marvel started on the comic book, but the reason they started on the comic book is because that's where the kids were. And now Iron Man, Captain America, they're massive movies, but they would work in VR. You know, people want to wear the t-shirts. Sure. It opens up theme parks. So we feel like we're starting to build our monsters on social media, but if we do so successfully, they can grow anywhere. And the great thing about social media and the internet, and I'd be curious to hear your experiences with this, is you get data. You get feedback. Yeah. You can see what's working. So to answer your question of how we've taken that quality up as we try to build those Marvel for Monsters, we're able to instantly see who's responding to our content. What ages are they? What parts of the country are they? When are they tuning in? When are they tuning out? What do they love? What do they hate? And incorporating that data into the creative process is so key.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, I think, you know, we shoot with my wife, we own another company called Primal Life Organic. So it's a big skincare company. But one of the big things, since she's the face of it last year, as we committed to, is pushing more digital video content out there. And, you know, it was funny because after like 6 months, everybody's like, oh, I don't think it's working. It's not happening. And, you know, but all along the whole process, we're fine tuning, we're tweaking, we're figuring out, well, what is that right length? What is, you know, how fast, you know, do we need to make faster edits and transitions and everything? You know, now today it's like we got a lot of consumption of that video content and everything. So similar.
And thank goodness you didn't quit after those 6 months, because the first 6 months of Crypt, no one was really watching our videos.
Right.
It would actually say it took us like 15 months to get consistent traffic. And it can be hard because you can see something and think it's great. I think this applies to any entrepreneur, whether you're doing original content like Crypt is, or whether you're in marketing, or whether you're in hardware, whatever it may be. You see something and you're like, I think this is awesome, and you put it out in the big, cold, dark internet, and it doesn't even make a splash, right?
It's
like a tree falls in the forest, but if no one hears it, did it really fall? You're like, wow, I think this stuff's really good. Why is no one watching? But we kept analyzing the data, going through and understanding what was working about our videos, what wasn't, and now we obviously get great and consistent and have a huge fan base. But those first 15 months, I would say we're challenging at times.
For sure. What are some of the significant things that you guys saw that you applied to make your video content, you know, so it pops more, so it grabs more attention?
The beginning is so important. That first 10 seconds, I mean, I'd say even the first 5 seconds, frankly.
Okay.
We have short attention spans.
Right.
So if you don't excite someone in the beginning, you got to give them a reason to stick around. And it's very interesting and scary, because the traditional trope around scary was don't show the monster till the end. Wait as long as possible. You know, Cloverfield, people love that original Cloverfield movie because you're waiting the whole movie to see this big brooding monster. We don't have that luxury on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and the places Crypt is. You can't show the full monster because then people will kind of be giving them what they wanted. But you got to tease enough of it and show enough that they stick around. That beginning has to be impactful. And then the second thing I would say, and I'm curious how it applies to your wife's skincare company, is powerful visuals are so important.
Okay.
This mobile phone, we, like you said, it's getting bigger. We have it in our hands. We're doing this all day. We're scrolling, no matter what it's through. You need a visual that makes people stop, that makes people want to see more. And to me, it's no different than when we had Blockbuster a long time ago, that's why you cared about the front cover of the movie. That's why people's VHSs were sure. so important, because what's going to jump out at you? It's that same concept. It's just now it's on the mobile phone, and there's so many more things in your feed that if you don't have a powerful beginning and a very, very powerful visual, you're not going to hook people.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense, because I know from a visual standpoint, they've like it's a lot, especially the cover image of it and everything, kind of like the VHS or the DVDs
so
or whatever,
so
is that cover image with a lot of visual, with a lot of, you know, like, oh, wait, what is that?
And I would say, just to give some a little few secrets, because I'm happy to be on this podcast.
Sure.
I'm just happy you invited me. You have to lighten that image, because on the phone, the contrast of images that feel brighter stands out more.
Okay.
So if you're not turning up that contrast way up and trying to make sure it's not just visual,
right.
but as visible as possible,
okay.
you can't take for granted a visibility. So really putting a lot of lighting, a lot of focus into the lighting of the thumbnail matters almost as much as that focus into it being an interesting,
wow.
powerful image that brings people in.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I could see that for sure. Because, you know, if you've ever edited on your phone and you're editing images and everything, by sliding, you're like, oh, a little more contrast, a little light, and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, it does stand out more.
It makes a huge difference, and you can't take that for granted.
Awesome, awesome. And that was one of the things, too, even from my shows alone, is a lot of times we'll cut right to the intro and stuff like that, but taking, like, that 10-second really cool, one of those cool idea clips and dropping that right at the beginning and then segueing into the intro and the full video and everything, too. And we've been testing that, and it's interesting. We're going to start seeing some of the data here pretty soon to see which one we're getting more engagement.
And you're going to take that data, and you're going to make your content even better. So
that's right. And that's, you know, and that's cool how you guys are doing that to really maximize crypt and to do that. You know, how, I mean, tell me, you know, what have you guys really applied? Obviously with some of the video content, but you know, you're seeing 80 million views, you've created millions of followers on social media. You know, what has been one of those couple, two or three things that driving pieces for that success?
That's a great question. I think the first driving piece in terms of how we built the audience,
okay.
we knew what our brand was and we knew who we wanted to target.
Okay.
You know, the best monster stories reach everyone, and we feel our best characters like the Birch and Looksie can become iconic across all of, you know, culture. But we started by focusing on scary fans because we knew there was no great content for scary on mobile, on social, so we had a chance to really grab them. And it's a lot easier to build a big following when you have a passionate base. That's what I always tell people. When you'd rather start with 20,000 people who really care and are engaging on everything you're doing than have 100,000 people who are kind of passively interacting. So always focus on the people who love your brand, who are always sharing or engaging, and focus on building a passionate base first, and then you'll see the growth actually comes a lot easier.
Cool. What have you guys used or found successful to really create that passion, that culture of just those, you know, rabid fans?
It's two things. One, I really emphasize it is using the data and responding to the data and how you create content, because people might not realize that you're responding to their actions or their preferences and how you shape the content, but then they subconsciously start to like it more because
sure.
you're responding to what they're liking.
Right.
So I would say that's the first thing. And the second thing is, don't think you're too cool to get into there, into the comment sections, and interact with the community. We've had our
yeah.
monsters like Giggles the Clown open theme parks, like you mentioned. So people have gotten to meet our monsters. We've tried really hard to always give back to fans, to do contests, to do giveaways, to host screenings, to work with, you know, to be really, when we do advertising, to really care about the advertising content we create so they don't feel disenfranchised. It's really interacting with your fans on a personal level and letting them know through your content and through how you treat them that they're what drives the brand, not
okay.
you. It's not your preferences. I'm not the star of Crypt TV. I'm very
right.
happy to be on your podcast today, but the monsters are the star. The fans love the monsters. We make the stuff they like. It's not about us.
Sure. Oh, yeah, no, that's super cool. Hey, I guess where is Crypt going? I mean, obviously you kind of talked a little bit about you guys want to be the Marvel for monsters and everything. I know we talked, and when I read the bio, you kind of, you know, VR and AR and everything kind of, you know, is what, you know, areas that's kind of that next digital space that a lot of companies are diving into and testing out and everything. What does that for you look like for you guys? You know, full-length features, et cetera, et cetera.
So the first thing we always have to do is just create great monster stories. The great thing about Crypt is we understand how to create content so quickly that when our fans like a property of ours, we just go make more of it. We just finished releasing a 6-episode season 2 of one of our shows, Sunny Family Cult. Yesterday, we just launched season 2 of A Monster, The Looksie. So what we do is we see fans responding. We're just going to go build more of that show.
Right.
We don't need a deal or a revenue-generating deal in place first to go make more. We'll make more having the confidence those deals will come in.
Sure.
Now, those deals do come in different forms. So we've done long-form shows, to your point. We did a show with Verizon and Go 90. We're going to be announcing some new shows soon, which is great when you get to take your best characters and turn them into 20 and 25 minute episodes.
Sure.
That's really fun. We've also done merch. We're going to do another big merch partnership this October. We want people dressing up as Crypt Monsters for Halloween. And then to your point, VR and AR and eventually podcast is absolutely key. Crypt's goal is to be Marvel for Monsters. I just gave you my spiel about how we need to create monster stories on social, but they can grow to anywhere. There's so many cool formats that exist now for people to enjoy the content they love. You
right.
have to be creating in those formats. So with AR, one of our characters, Giles the Clown, we created a downloadable mask, you know, and 100,000 people used it and shared it to social media, them as Giggles the Clown, because they can put themselves in the monster.
Sure.
We need to do a lot more of that. We're going to do a lot more AR. But again, VR is so important, and scary in VR has such potential. So bringing our monsters not just to long form, which we are going to and have done and will keep doing, but bringing them to these new formats that are kind of like the Wild West out there.
Cool. Do you guys see yourself kind of – do you see Netflix taking your episodes and putting them on, or kind of becoming that scary Netflix, like your own
deal? I think we want to be everywhere. So while I am completely open to the idea that we could monetize a show direct to consumer, I never think we'll put the entire company behind a paywall. Because if our goal is to be Marvel for Monsters, well, that implies reach. That implies impressions. And you're going to always get the most impressions, of course, when something can be accessed for free. I think you could see us doing a show with Netflix. And also you could see us taking one of our monsters and saying, hey, we're going to spin out this property, and it's only for people who pay for it, and you just go direct to this property. So I think you could see more ways than one for that. But we'll never put the whole company, I think, behind a paywall, but we could certainly unbundle individual IPs of ours to sell direct to fans.
Cool. What's it been like for you kind of, you know, growing the company? I mean, obviously you went from, you know, you and, you know, a couple initial people to 7 to 20 now. How's that been?
It's a challenge. I mean, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on scale, being such, having talked to so many successful entrepreneurs and being one yourself. You got to scale habits, and that can be really hard.
Sure.
How do you scale habits in a way that everyone is working with the same type of dedication and discipline of the initial team? And also, you have to scale culture. And scaling culture can be incredibly difficult, because how do you make sure that little special bubbling passion that existed when it was just you doing this extends that you have a bigger team now? So I feel very lucky. We have a great team here at Crypt. But I would say scaling is a unique challenge, from everything to habits, to culture, to workflow. It's tough.
Definitely is funny, because we had this – I was on a podcast earlier and had a similar conversation about hiring. I mean, it's – you know, as you're growing in, at such a consistent, rapid pace, to make sure you're finding the right people that match with your culture, as well as the right people that want to work and hustle and help move that vision forward, you know, is definitely challenging.
People are everything. I mean, if you don't have the right people, you have nothing. And I think the thing entrepreneurs must do in terms of letting go of your ego, in the sense, you can't figure it out yourself. If I wanted Crypt to be a one-person show, it would fail. You know, it takes a lot more than me. The vision is bigger than me. You need to create a great team who's just as excited as you are, because the only way the company grows to its potential is having 20 people locked in, excited, getting the best of their potential, not just one person trying to be the superhero.
For sure. No, I definitely agree with that. So we got a little bit of time left. What would you say, you know, has been your biggest driver for success overall?
That's a great question. I love that question, Josh. I would say the biggest driver for success is I have two really great parents who always dedicated so much to me and sacrificed for me, and I want them to feel like I didn't just take all their hard work and be lazy and sit around and take advantage of it, that I went and tried to make something of my own and build my own company and build my own life. And by that same notion, I have an amazing, lovely girlfriend who we've been together for a long time, 4.5 years. We've got a long time of being together in front of us too. And I think that you have to just work from a place of love and think about all those people who believed in you,
sure,
who loved you and supported you. And that's what I work for. So first and foremost, that's my girlfriend and my parents. I have two amazing sisters. I mean, my partner, Eli Roth, this guy is a big success. He co-founded this company with me. He took a chance on me. Jason Blum, massive success, took a chance on me. So I think about my family. I think about those first partners and Eli and Jason, my current investors, Larry Hippo and Advanced Capital and NBCU. You think about all those people who supported you, and that
right,
just drives you, because you don't want to make them feel wrong for supporting you. And you think about all the great help and advice they've given you, and you want to kind of pay that back. And then eventually, once you've paid it back, you want to pay it forward to other people.
For sure. No, that's awesome. It's, you know, really cool to hear, you know, how you've grown, what you've built, and what drives you, you know, to move Crypt forward, yourself personally forward, and everything else. So where can people go find out and watch shows and engage with you guys and learn more about Monsters?
You can find us everywhere. You probably watch content, Facebook.com/CryptTV, our show page, Crypt Monsters, so Facebook.com/CryptMonsters, Instagram.com/CryptTV, find us on YouTube. Our YouTube, we just started in August, and it's really growing, almost at 500,000 YouTube subscribers.
Wow,
so
awesome.
YouTube.com/CryptTV, that's two T's, it's CryptTV. And anyone who wants to reach out to me personally, you know, not that you will, but I always like to talk to young entrepreneurs. I'm sure you have many great future entrepreneurs who are being inspired by your podcast, Josh. So I'm on Twitter at NotJackDavis, because look at me, I'm so funny, NotJackDavis. And you can email me at jack@cryptv.com. I always love, you know, hearing from people. So
cool. Awesome, man. And then what's one last thing you want to leave our audience with before we have to jump off here?
The best monsters change culture and actually bring us closer together. Scary to us here at Crypt isn't a type of content, it's an emotion. And it's emotion that every human being feels, and we are working so hard to create that next great culture-changing monster story that doesn't just scare you, but actually brings everyone a little closer together.
Cool, man. Well, Jack, it's such an honor. I really appreciate you coming
on. Making... Thank you for having me, Josh.
Yeah, no problem. It's just spending your time here, sharing what's got you to where you are today. So an honor to have you on Making Bank.
Thank you, Josh.
For sure. I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.